Speaking on this program is Mark Lantz.
You have obeyed my voice.
Good evening to everyone. What a beautiful day we've had. Now, the passage that was read for us just a moment ago by Butch is very similar to what we studied this morning. Not the exact same verses, but we're going a lot different direction with what we're going to look at tonight. And first, I want to read the scriptures again out of Genesis 22, verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because I have obeyed my voice. Now this point is going to be similar, then we're going to look at something considerably different. But Abraham did what God said. Now he's making a promise to him. If you do what I say, I will bless you. You know, that principle has never changed. Now we're not under the same law, and that is one thing that we're going to look at tonight. But that principle has never changed. God has always told us, if you will obey me, I will bless you. If you choose, and it is a choice, if you choose not to obey me, I will punish you. And even when the children of Israel were ready to go into the promised land, Moses told them, and Joshua told them, choose. And of course we have the passage that's so popular in Joshua 24, verse 15, choose you this day whom you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Man's always had choices. Brethren, the choices that we make, whether to serve God, not to serve God, it matters. It matters a lot. And it can be, because we don't serve God faithfully, He withholds blessings if we don't put our heart into what we're doing. But now, something I want us to look at, God has promised Abraham that He's going to bless the entire world through his seed. But now, there's something that's taken place, and it always comes up, but the nation of Israel, is that the chosen people of God today? And the answer is yes and no. And we're going to break that down in just a moment. But let's be very plain. The country of Israel is not the promised land for God's people today. The church is the Israel of today. And that's one thing that we're going to notice. I want everybody to take out a Bible. If you don't have one with you, grab the one in the pew. A verse that you may want to highlight in your Bible. It's not going to be on the screen. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. Joshua 21, 43. This verse is critical to our study. As we prepare to look at this, yes, I believe that we should help Israel because they are our friend of our country, because they are people that tend to be good people, but not because it's God's chosen people, as we see so many people make the mistake of thinking, and God's going to bless them because that is His chosen people, because it's not. But notice something in Joshua 21:43, and the Lord gave unto Israel, notice this, all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. How much did He give them? All of it. Well, God's going to give this land to Israel. He's already done that. That was something that's already has already taken place. It's not something to look to in the future. And God's going to give this land to them. And that's going to fulfill the promise. Rather than that promise of the land promise has already been fulfilled. Now, there's a promise in Christ that we're going to notice that is still applicable to us today. It still applies to us today. But that land promise, it's already been fulfilled. Now, I consider Israel as a friend of America. We should be friends with them and help each other, but not because of that being the chosen land of all the world, and that's where Jesus is going to come. Brethren, Jesus already has a kingdom. That kingdom is the Lord's church, which we are blessed to be a part of, but understand it is a spiritual kingdom. Now, I remember Trey some time back giving the devotion, and he made a very good point, and to show you that We listen when people are up here doing the devotion. But Trey made a very good point in the fact that had Israel drove out all their enemies as God had told them, they could have saved themselves so much trouble. But don't we learn from that? Brethren, if we will do what God tells us now, we can save ourselves so much trouble that we don't have to be involved in. I'll give some instances. What about drinking, dancing, smoking, just a whole list of things. And being obedient, doing what God said, not just the things of leaving off. But brethren, if we would do what God has told us to do, we can save ourselves so many problems. And yes, once we get into a problem, we can repent if we've done wrong. But isn't it better not to be involved with it to begin with? And not have to have scars that will last for a lifetime, possibly even physically? Brethren, to avoid is far greater. But that promise of that land has already been fulfilled, and it's not going to be re-fulfilled again. But now let's notice something about the salvation of Israel. Romans chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, they shall come out of Zion to deliver, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now all Israel is going to be saved, but not that country. Let's keep on noticing in the Romans chapter 11, verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in." Again, talking about the Jewish nation. Now this passage will cover quite a few things. One, what about the possibility of falling away? Someone tells us you can't fall away. Notice what Paul says here through the writings to the church at Rome. "And they," Israel, "if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in." For God, talking about the Gentiles being grafted in, for God is going to be grafted in as well. But here he's talking about the Jewish nation. "For God is able to graft them in again." That means they already had to be there at one point. You can't be grafted in again if they never had been there. You can't fall away from something you never had. You can't lose something that you've never had. But notice, again, I would remind us, if they abide not. See, there's going to be punishment. When we don't do what God says to do, brethren, there's always consequences. And here's one thing that we sometimes forget. Sometimes we seem to be under the impression that if we're not punished immediately, well, God must have forgot about it. He hasn't. God has a record of our lives. And if our sins are not covered by the blood of Christ, brethren, we will have to answer for them. And that's the only thing that will save us from our sins is being cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. And if our sins have not been repented of, just because time has gone by, that doesn't mean they're taken care of. If we repent of them as God's children, so he's talking to his children, and he's writing to the church at Rome. So he's writing to Christians. Now, also, I want to point this out. Why is it so important to remind Christians of certain things? Brethren, that's one of the main reasons that we come to services. It is for such things as this morning we saw a baptism. Last Wednesday we saw a baptism. Those things are great. That's one of the reasons we're here. But brethren, it's also important to keep the saved saved. That we stay faithful to God, because as we notice, we must continue to be faithful unto God. It's not something that we start for a short period of time and then it's over and you're finished with it. No, it's a lifetime of living for God. It's not something that we do for a short period of time. Being a Christian is something that we do every day of our lives, not just on Sunday. It's something that we do all throughout the week. But now let's notice another passage in the book of Galatians, the third chapter, verses 7 through 9. Paul, again, the writer here, and he says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Now we're learning more. See, when you take just a passage out of context, such as Romans 11, 26, all Israel is going to be saved. That's a true statement because God said it. But who is under discussion? Who is he talking about? "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith," well, that includes the Gentiles that have been grafted in, "the same are the children of Abraham." Now we see it's not just the Jewish nation, because that law of Moses was only for a period of time, as we're going to notice. He says, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentile nation, through faith." Now, remember here, this word "through faith," he didn't say faith only. The word only is not there. That's something that men add to the Word of God because it makes it easy. Faith only, just believe. But that's one thing we would remind people of about what we looked at this morning. Faith without works is dead. But he says, he saved and justified the heathen by faith. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham. There's the promise, the seed promise. Now, the seed is the Word of God. Now, when we plant the Word of God and it grows as we saw this morning and last week, it produces Christians. Not those of a physical country of Israel. I doubt that either one of the people that were baptized this morning or Wednesday have been to Israel. Most of us haven't been. And most of us probably never will be. But if we are part of the Lord's church today, we are part of Israel, the spiritual Israel. And brethren, that's the one that's going to matter. So you can't just simply be born into a family and you have an inheritance such as a physical country. You have to be born again to be in this kingdom, to be in this Israel, this spiritual Israel. When does that take place? At the point of baptism. Remember that because it's going to be very important. We're going to come back to it. But he also says, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Promise to Abraham. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Not just the Israel nation. Not just those of a past generation that's come and gone. God had fulfilled the land promises. Remember, that's over with. Now, the seed promise. That's unto everybody, and it still applies. Because Israel could, I hope they're not, but they could be wiped off the face of the earth. The promise of the seed promise still applies to us today. And brethren, we must be part of Israel, but not of a physical nation. We must be part of this spiritual kingdom that God has established through His Son, Jesus Christ. And all people are going to be saved the same way. See, our God is a just God. And here's something they even need to remember about Israel as far as the country. It was not special because of their greatness. It never was because of that. It was because God chose to go through them to bring the Christ child through. That's what made them special. Now, I would remind us, what makes us special today? It's not because we're so good. It's not because we deserve salvation, because none of us deserve salvation. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be lost. Every single one of the age of accountability. But why are we saved? Because of God's goodness, not man's. It is God's goodness that saves us. It is God's goodness that caused Him to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place. And brethren, you see the world, religious world at least, thinks that the physical country of Israel is a very special place and we should preserve it. And we should, but I've already just given the reasons. But I want you to translate that into the spiritual kingdom. There's where the special kingdom is. Being a part of this spiritual kingdom. And think of how people look at the country of Israel. Well, that's God's place. And while they're mistaken, brethren, we should treat the church as though it's special. Because it is. It's the body of Christ. And we shouldn't treat it as though we're going to wipe it out. You know, the physical country, Israel, has its enemies that want to destroy them. The spiritual kingdom also has its enemies, Satan. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to destroy it. And if he can, one by one, he will. And if we don't continue to be faithful, he will destroy us. No, not the physical country, but our souls. They are at stake. See, the stakes are actually much higher than just some land. The stakes are souls. And there's a battle going on for those souls. For you, for me, and something we need to think of as parents and grandparents. There's a battle going on for our children, for our grandchildren, for everybody out there. Next time you're in the store, maybe in your Walmart, you look around, you see all those people. Do you understand that? Most of them are lost. Most of them have never taken advantage of the promise, the seed promise. Most of them are lost. What a sad thing. They're missing out on the most special thing that they could ever be a part of. The spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 3 verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Notice this. He saith not, and to seeds. It's not plural. as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Guess what? That makes him the only way. If you're going to be saved, here is the way. It's by Jesus Christ, not the land promise. See, they thought it was something that they could trace their lineage back to Abraham. Well, in AD 70, the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. There's no records. You can't do that. Don't you think that God had in mind that that way they won't even be bothered with that? They need to understand what's important. The spiritual kingdom. You need to trace your lineage back to Christ. We need to trace our lineage back to God. He is our Heavenly Father. And that's the one that we should praise. Not because, hey, I was born in this physical family. See, our inheritance is of a spiritual nature. But while it is, I want you to think of this. Brethren, that makes all of us rich if we're part of the kingdom, doesn't it? That means we have something to look forward to. You know, a lot of people, and not necessarily wrong with, nothing wrong with this, if they have an inheritance, they look forward to it. That would be natural. But shouldn't it be also just as natural, and even more so, brethren, we have something that will never end if we will be faithful to God. We have an inheritance waiting for us that God has for His children. Therefore, we have something to look forward to. See, there is a bright future, but it's found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in the world. See, that pleasure is only for a season. It is going to be destroyed. This world is going to be burned up. Then where all those treasures be of a physical nature, those inheritance, they won't last. You can't take that with you. But brethren, we have a mansion that our Lord has gone to prepare for us. It seems like it's hard for us, even as members of the church sometimes, to think on these things as we should. There again is the reason we come back as God's people, to be reminded of things that we already know. Now, some, this may be some new things, maybe you haven't read those, such as what we read in the book of Joshua 21:43. I think a lot of people obviously haven't read that scripture. But brethren, even God's people need to be reminded of how special this kingdom is that we are a part of. And our war is not with spears and swords or even machine guns and tanks and jets. But we are at a war. And don't think otherwise. It is a spiritual warfare. But you must be armed, not with your sword. If you take up your sword, you're going to lose the battle. I guarantee you. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now you can defend yourself. And even more than defend yourself, you can go on the offensive. See, we have an enemy out there, and we need to be ready for the enemy. How do we do that? Well, we see we have troops in Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, different places. Why? Trying to fight the enemy. Brethren, we have an enemy much more vicious than any of those people have ever been. Satan. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so you could actually lose your physical life, but you still exist. And nobody can take away your salvation. But you can only lose your soul and be lost eternally one time. And that's forever. But we read further in the book of Galatians, actually backing up verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He died on that cross. Why? To redeem us. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. How? By land promise? No. By being born in that country? No. Through Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, a spiritual kingdom. But what about that old law? It was a curse? How can you say that? I thought the law of Moses was good. It was. But it never was designed to save man from his sins. It pointed out sin. It condemned sin. But it could not save man from sin. That only came by and through Jesus Christ. See, that was much further along after Abraham was dead and gone of a physical nature. Christ came. He came and died on the cross to free us from the curse of the old law. And brethren, you see something, they want to go back under the old law of Moses. Keep the Sabbath. And bring things out of the Old Testament. We live under a far better covenant today. Just think, we've all offered sacrifices today. Right here. We sung praises unto God this morning and this evening. We'll have a couple more songs to before we leave. Singing praises unto God. We worship with the preaching also. We've had the Lord's Supper, the prayers. Brethren, that's superior to those animal sacrifices under the Old Testament law. What a wonderful law we are under, and be thankful that we don't live under that law. Now, look at verses 18 and 19 of Galatians 3. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, severeth the law. It was added, here's the reason he gave a law, because of transgressions. But now he says, till. There's a time period. Till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. See, the old law lasted for a certain period of time. It brought us to where we need to be, to Christ. See, we can look back to Abraham. We can look back to Moses. We can look back to Adam and Eve. But guess what? They were looking this way. There's a Savior that's going to come and save man from his sins. How's he going to do that? We can't save ourselves. And those animal sacrifices, they didn't take away sins. They made a remembrance of them. How's anybody going to be saved through Christ, this inheritance that we've been promised? See, when he was crucified, it not only cleanses our sins of those on this side of the cross, it goes back and washes away their sins. Those that were obedient, such as Abraham, even all the way back to Adam and Eve. See, everybody that's going to be saved, it's going to be by Christ. You can't be saved any other way. In verses 24 and 25, notice this. Wherefore, the law of Moses, was our schoolmaster. Why? To bring us unto Christ. He gives the reason. That we might be justified, how? By faith, not born into a certain country. Not because we have relatives that... I have grandparents that were members of the church. My grandfather was an elder in the church. I can't be saved because of that. That inheritance won't save me. The only way I could be saved is by Jesus Christ. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. It's like the school bus we would use. The school bus brings you to the school building so the children can be taught. Once the bus brings them to school, you don't need the bus anymore. You're there. You have something that is better than the school bus. Well, that old law was our school bus, our schoolmaster. But brother, we have something that is far superior to that. We have Jesus Christ now. We live under His law, not the old law of Moses. It never could save us to begin with. And I am thankful that we don't live under that law. The law we have today is far better. In Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, we read this, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." What a glorious day. Satan thought he gained a great victory. The Christ has been crucified. But actually, it was the greatest day this world has ever seen. Because 3 days later, He was resurrected. And He is the one that saves us from our sins. We were dead in our sins. Our sins condemned us. See, sin separates us from God. How are we going to be saved? How are we going to have those sins washed away? Jesus Christ. Now we see the importance of baptism. Where do we contact the blood of Christ? Is it not at the point that we're baptized into His death? Where did Jesus shed His blood? In His death on the cross. Brethren, what a glorious occasion. What seemed like a victory for Satan to him turned into man's salvation. It could not be possible. Think about this great event. Had it not happened, we would not be here right now because we would have no need to be here. Had Christ not been resurrected, we wouldn't need to be here tonight. For what reason? Satan would have won. But he didn't, because our Savior is now back in heaven, reigning on His throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, something with that being mentioned, if His kingdom is in heaven, it's not in Israel as a country. Therefore, we don't look for an earthly kingdom. It's of a spiritual nature, and that's been throughout all these passages. See, that old law, it talked about something that was physical. But then our inheritance is something of a spiritual nature. Heaven, how beautiful it must be. How does the mind grasp it? How can you comprehend it? We can only think in small terms. Well, streets of gold, pearly gates. What will it be like? Our eyes have never seen that. But when I think about that, it makes me want to live for God, doesn't it, you? I want to see that inheritance that my Lord has for me. And I don't want to miss out on that inheritance that He has for me. In Galatians 3:26-29, notice what He says here. For you're all children of God. By a promise made to the physical Israel? No. All of you. Gentiles, Jews, doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter what your nationality is, you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, some of our religious friends would stop right there. See, you're saved by faith. Brother, we are saved by faith, but not faith only. You know, the only time that faith only is mentioned in the Bible, James 2, he says we're not saved by faith only. Now, maybe that's one reason that Martin Luther didn't like that book. He said it didn't belong in the Bible. You know why? It was contrary to what he wanted to believe. It was not what he thought that man should be saved. It's only by faith. Oh, it is by faith. And God certainly has to be the one that supplies the grace, the mercy, the love. He supplied the Savior. But man has to take advantage of it. We're all saved by faith, like Abraham was when he was obedient. That's how we started, wasn't it? We did. He did what God said. How are we saved? Just believing. Abraham wasn't saved that way, and he was saved by faith when he did what God said. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, if you haven't been baptized, you don't have Christ on yet. How many would want to argue that you could be saved without Christ? See, if you haven't been baptized into His death, you don't have Christ yet. No salvation. Just because you believe, you still fall short. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. Now, this destroys the idea of it's going to be a physical kingdom again. It doesn't matter where you're from. We have one Savior, one way of salvation. Jew, Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. The plan of salvation came by Jesus Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that God made, the seed promise. See, there's its fulfillment. Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Notice what we saw in Galatians 3. Baptized into Christ. Romans 6:3. Baptized into His death. Notice what we see in Acts 2. When the church first began, they were convicted of their sins. The old law has already been nailed to the cross. You're guilty of crucifying the Christ. They have a question. Since we have done this, men and brethren, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not Abraham. Be baptized into Jesus, into His death. Put on Christ. See, those passages are in perfect harmony together, aren't they? There's no disagreement among the Scriptures. You know where the disagreement comes? When man adds to or takes away from the Word of God. Brethren, it's so important that we know about the land promises that were made to Abraham and Moses and Joshua, all those things back in that time. God took care of all those things. That's finished. It's over with. What we have now is all of a spiritual nature. And we're all one in Christ Jesus. Brethren, this evening the question is very obvious. Are you in Christ Jesus? You have faith? That's obvious, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have come this evening if you didn't believe in God. Perhaps unless there was an atheist that came searching, just want to hear. Why do you come? You believe. You have to be like Abraham. You have to act upon your faith. Now that you believe, are you willing to make the good confession? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized into His death, as we're commanded to, I know men make light of that commandment. You don't have to be. I've even had people laugh in my face. You members of the Church of Christ put so much emphasis upon baptism. Why? Because the Bible does. Because the Bible does. I like that company, don't you? I think I'll stand with that company rather than those that ridicule and mock at the Word of God. Are you in Christ? If you haven't been baptized, you're not. But this evening you can change that. And if you are a child of God, see, we, as we've noticed tonight, you can lose your salvation. Just because you're once saved doesn't mean you're always saved if you become unfaithful to God. But you can make things right with God. Again, no, not by being baptized. If you've already done those things, but you sinned of a public nature, repent of it the same way. Perhaps it's something private. Take care of it that way. Now, if we can assist you in some way, we'd love to do that. But brethren, God wants us to go to heaven. He's made the perfect plan. We need to submit to that plan and not try to improve on God's plan because we cannot. If you have a need to obey the gospel or be restored to faithful service, we encourage you and plead with you to do that tonight while you have the opportunity. Will you come as we stand and sing?